I'm Sandra, and I'm just the professional your small business was looking for. But you didn't hire me because you didn't use LinkedIn jobs. LinkedIn has professionals you can't find anywhere else, including those who aren't actively looking for a new job, but might be open to the perfect role, like me.
In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't visit other leading job sites. So if you're not looking on LinkedIn, you'll miss out on great candidates, like Sandra. Start hiring professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/recommend today.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
While you're taking a break from sports, KSON is putting you on the road to Stagecoach 8 times every weekday, thanks to your San Diego County Toyota dealers and Cox Communications. Ready for 3 days of live country music in the desert? Sign up now at KSON.com.
Started.
All right, here it comes.
It's Ben and Woods.
Try to say this nicely. When you look at Ben, Paul, and me, it doesn't scream athlete.
With Ben Higgins.
Bicka, bicka, bow, 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 bicka, bow, bow, bump, bump, what, ha, 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 ha. On your mark, ready, set, let's go.
And Stephen Woods.
I want to win. I want to win at all costs. I really do. Other than, you know, lying, cheating, and stealing, I don't want to do that. But whatever it takes to win, I'm willing to do.
Ben and Woods.
Blame it on the Henry
on 97.3 The Fan.
Yeah, you got satin shoes.
Morning, everybody. Get your heads right. It is a, what day is it? It's a Wednesday morning on Ben and Woods. We are live from Peoria, Arizona, back here in the holding cell at Padres Spring Training. It is our final day at spring training. And, you know, listen, I'm ready to get home, but I had a great time.
Are we still doing this show?
We are still doing
this
show.
We're a play-by-play team now.
That's true.
We've kind of moved beyond Ben and Woods.
I like to play to my strength, so I'll continue.
Play-by-play, color analyst.
I'll continue to do the show.
Major League Baseball. I mean, that's kind of the future now.
Yeah, I think.
We've moved on.
I think we're probably safe safe in doing our show for a while.
Ted and Jesse are probably pretty safe
as
well.
Yeah, I am Woodsy, joined by, of course, our executive producer, Paul Reindel. Now, back in the studio, we've got – whoa, Paulie almost lost his laptop. That was very close. Whew. We've got our assistant producer, Hammer. We miss him tremendously. Hammer, how are you, buddy?
Good talk.
Cool, oh, man. Nope. Now I'm here. What's
oh,
up, guys?
Hi.
Hi, Hammer.
Hi, Hammer.
Hi, guys. Miss you. Great. Crazy.
Miss
Hurry
you
up.
Too. We'll see you tomorrow.
Yep.
You're back in studio. I'd like you to come in a little early for no other reason than I just want to see you. Like 4:30,
right.
Maybe.
A little selfish, all right? But all right.
Okay. Yeah. I mean, it is selfish, but that's fine. I miss you. Want to catch up and get a wrap going. We've got Brian on the board. Brian, again, thanks for filling in this week. Really appreciate it. Great job. We have put him to work today. He's got 1,000 pieces of audio to find.
Yeah. I apologized profusely last night when I sent that list over.
What's your favorite restaurant, Brian?
Ooh, that's a tough question. Right off the spot.
Just say Olive Garden.
We'll just wait. Ooh. That's fine.
I mean, Olive Garden's pretty good.
You know? Olive Garden, it is. All right.
Safe
we'll
answer.
Take care
it
of
is,
you there.
They got a lot of different choices.
Treat them to a meal at Olive Garden. Maybe. Really, really great job this week. And, of course, my my co-host, my life partner, Ben Higgins.
Good morning, Woods.
Hi, Benny.
Here we are, one last day in Peoria.
Yep.
I'd like to report that we have successfully checked out of the Meth and Death. We do not have to go back there today or ever again. It is now a part of our distant past, and we shall not talk about it again.
Well, we will talk about it for a little bit more right here, actually.
I never saw another guest the entire time we were there.
Yeah, it's weird.
Not once.
I saw two.
I didn't see any. It should be their busy season. There should be lots of people teeming with baseball fans who were visiting the Valley of the Sun in the month of February because there's no hotel space anywhere. Yet I saw not a single guest the entire time we were there.
Maybe they didn't want to stay 40 minutes from the facilities. I don't know. That could just be me being selfish. I don't know. But this was it didn't end. If you've heard our trials and tribulations this week, it didn't end for me last night. This is very strange. It's very strange. We had a very long day yesterday. We did a four-hour radio show. We then
Did a 9-hour baseball game.
Yeah, we kicked it for a while. We blew a little time. We had a delicious meal, and then went over to the stadium about an hour early. Then we called a 3.5-hour baseball game. Then we went to dinner. Then we drove home to the Hotel Meth and Death in Glendale. And I was thinking to myself, man, I'm going to walk in the room, I'm going to undress, and I'm going to get right in a freshly made clean bed. Nope. No, they did not even, they didn't clean my room. They didn't clean my room. They didn't make my bed. The garbage wasn't thrown away. And then I realized something this morning as I went to get in the shower.
They just missed your room.
No, they didn't miss my room. They gave me fresh towels. I had 4 fresh towels in my bathroom.
So they went into your room but purposely decided
not to make my
bed. This guy doesn't deserve to have his room clean.
Something. And so
I've been reading your tweets.
I don't think so, because they still gave me fresh towels.
They wanted you to know that they were there, but they're still messing with you.
I mean, it's not their job to decide what they can and won't clean. They just are supposed to do it, no matter how bitchy, you know, the person is. And here's the funny thing: I never bitched to them once. I never changed my room. I stayed with the doo-doo curtains. I just wore it because in my mind, if I left the room, it wouldn't be as good a material. So I really wore this for comedy and bit purposes. And so,
just admit, you like to be able to complain a little.
100%.
Yeah.
It's better. Like, if I go and change rooms, what if I changed hotels? You guys would have been mad at me if I said, pack your stuff, we're leaving. Right? Like, so I just wore it. But they didn't even make my bed. They didn't clean my room. Nothing. It was very, very strange. But they did leave me 4 fresh towels. Very odd.
Maybe had you been leaving housekeeping a tip every
night?
No,
I don't tip until the end. I never tip until the end.
See, now I always tip early in the stay because I feel like
smart.
You get better service as the stay goes on if they know you're a tipper.
But if you can get a good tip by providing good service throughout the trip, like what if they get complacent? They're like, oh, well, I got a tip for day 1. I can just cruise and maybe not even make the bed on day 3.
Probably don't leave a tip.
Did you leave a tip
point
at this place?
Yeah.
You did.
The housekeepers have nothing to... Well, I mean, my room was clean. So.
I left 35 cents. I left change. I was so pissed. I'm so pissed. So I did a call in last night to Gwen and Chris, and I asked the guys, where are they staying when they come? And they're staying in the same place we are. Well, Tony's not. Tony's staying with the Padres. Chris and Scraby are staying at the same place. Now, I feel... like, they may owe us a debt of gratitude because now they have time to change theirs, if they can find something.
But Tony's staying at Hosmer's place or
something? Yeah, exactly. Shacking up with Manny and Yaney Machado. but, no, it was we're out of there. It's good. I'm itchy. I'm very itchy still. Last night was a rough night's sleep.
It's all in your head.
It probably is. My scalp is itching.
It's definitely in your head.
So we got out of there. We are coming home after the show today and really looking forward to get back in the studio, seeing our buddy Hammer. And, you know, just getting back to the normal routine, even though it really has been a crazy good experience.
One thing I would like to do right off the bat here is thank Jesse Agler for making us welcome in his radio booth yesterday, treating us as the semi-professionals that we were trying to be, and making it just an all-around fun experience, our booth takeover yesterday, calling play-by-play between the Padres and the A's in a spring training game. It is definitely one of the thrills of my lifetime to get to call even a spring training Major League Baseball game on the radio.
Yeah, and what time are we going to really air check this thing? I want to break this thing down for our listeners. I know they're interested. I'm interested in hearing back some of the audio. So what time do you guys want
to... Well, I had that kind of in this first hour.
Okay.
I mean, no spotlight. Let's just do the spotlight. It'll be the game audio.
All right. So we'll just dive right into it. We got a few minutes here.
Yeah, we'll do that. I do want to mention, since I was the only one who stayed up late to watch the San Diego State basketball game last night, they did pull it out. If you're waking up early,
we don't do sports in this segment.
But it was late. I mean, if your alarm just went off,
you
probably didn't stay up for the end of the Aztecs game.
Typically,
because didn't end until about 10:20 San Diego time last night.
Ben, you're the newbie here for this.
Yeah, 11:20.
This is our segment actually, and we don't break down basketball film at, what,
4:09?
Yeah, right. we don't mention, really, updates of scores.
How about that dinner last night?
Dinner, Papa Doug. Fantastic.
I had some of the best shrimp and grits I've ever eaten. It was fantastic.
Now, I was a little disappointed in Paul. because, Paul, we went to a fantastic Creole. It's a Creole chain.
On Mardi Gras.
On Mardi Gras. And it wasn't really planned to do that. We just wanted to go to Papa Doe. And it's a chain restaurant. Now, I had some Cajun-style mahi and scallops and some shrimp gumbo. Delicious, right? We just fit it, like, diving right into the Mardi Gras scene. Ben, again, shrimp and grits. Doesn't get more Creole
Southern,
than that
yeah.
in Southern. And Paul just got naked salmon.
Yeah.
You could have gotten naked salmon anywhere.
Yeah.
Even at the Woods house.
At the, not in my house you couldn't get. Well.
Actually, I could.
Get my share. But, no, you didn't try.
So here's the thing. I did feel, and it's nobody's fault, but I was a little rushed when we were. I didn't know you guys were all ready to take your order.
Yeah, we eat quick.
And so I was going to get the pasta Mardi Gras.
Yeah, it's very, very thick.
It looked like it was going to be very, very thick, very, very filling.
Very rich.
But in the ingredients were crawfish.
Yeah, crawfish are disgusting.
And I've never had crawfish, but after hearing you describe them to me, I said, I don't want anything to do with crawfish.
They're like rats of a creek.
Ugh.
They're the creek rats.
I didn't want to do it.
I mean,
I didn't
want
to try.
Bottom feeding. We used to fish for crawdads. I'm from Texas, so don't forget. I say fish. We used to catch crawdads in the creek with like a, I want to say it was like a piece of bacon on a string. I'm not kidding. Real hillbilly stuff. But we used to catch crawdads when we were little. And they got little pinchers. Ben goes, oh, they're like small lobsters. I said, no. No, they're not. They're
so
like
that sounds good.
Yeah, they're like small rats that feed off the bottom of the creek. So then Paul said, well, what about catfish? And I said, well, catfish is kind of an acquired taste. He did try. I think I just scared him out of everything else. He goes, you know what? I'll just have salmon with nothing on it.
Well, here's
and that's
the thing.
What he
I
had.
Don't really like shrimp.
Yeah.
And that's kind of the menu was shrimp,
mm-hmm.
catfish, and crawfish.
Shrimp sandwich, shrimp gumbo,
shrimp
soup,
and potatoes.
Shrimp burger, shrimp and potatoes.
look, the salmon was delicious.
Yeah, it was good.
And it did have like some really good flavoring to it.
Yeah,
it was
salmon flavoring, which is an oxymoron. Good salmon flavor.
Ah, it's delicious.
But no, it was a really good meal. We had a great time. And again, back to the hotel. And just really happy to be out of that place. And but today is going to be a good show. Yesterday, though, was I was thinking back as I was lying in bed. It was one of the best experiences of my life. It was also one of the most terrifying things I've ever had to do.
I don't understand this. You spend so much time on the air.
Yeah.
And your whole thing is that, hey, just be yourself.
Yeah.
Let's have fun with it. What made the fact that there was a game going on different for you? What changed everything? Because you weren't calling the game. You were just
right.
kind of commenting on what was going on and what we were saying.
Yeah, and I thought about it a lot, you know, and I think for me, I'm very comfortable with a microphone, whether it's in public or in a studio.
You are.
That was the least comfortable I've ever been on a mic in my entire life. And there's a few reasons that went into it. Jesse Agler is really, really good. So I was a little bit intimidated trying to work with Jesse. The other thing is I didn't want to step on him. I didn't know. I've never done it, right? It's like the first time. And I didn't want to say something dumb. I don't mind saying dumb things. I say dumb things all the time with you, with Paul, whatever. But I didn't want to step on Jesse. And he's got a cadence. He's got a rhythm. And I've listened to him enough to know kind of where he's going. That being said, you got to be on point. Like, when it's your time. I mean, there were so many times that we had like a good solid 6 seconds of silence. And at one point, I even remarked, hey, this is probably a good spot to put some color in.
Which was funny.
Right, that's funny.
Now, you can have a little silence in a baseball broadcast. Just sounds of the ballpark.
There were plenty of sounds of the ballpark.
It's a much... It's the easy pace of a baseball game. It's not a talk show. You're just calling the game, and if nothing is happening, you can back off for a few seconds.
Yeah. I just was really uncomfortable. I didn't feel like I could be myself. I felt I had to be professional, and I don't really like to be professional. I like to be able to kind of fly by the seat of my pants a little bit and say, now the things I really wanted to say, I couldn't say. Like, I couldn't say when a certain pitcher came in, this guy will be working at Walmart in 3 weeks. So you'll never see this guy again. You know, this guy has a body type like we do. You know, he's very portly.
I love being professional.
I hate being professional. I hate it.
I really enjoyed working the baseball game with Jesse Agler. It's here where I'm uncomfortable every day.
Yeah. Yeah, exactly. And I think, but it was, you know, I did get a little bit better as the game went on. And started to be a little bit more snarky and sarcastic. But we have audio clips of all of these things we're talking about. If you missed the broadcast yesterday, we'll play some of that for you next. It's Ben and Woods, 97.3 The Fan. Let's get a quick...
Ben and Woods, Wednesday morning, live from Padres Spring Training in Peoria. 621 here, 521 back in San Diego. Coming up in our next hour, we're expected to be joined by the Padres' top prospect and, according to Keith Law, number three prospect in all of baseball, Mackenzie Gore, going to be with us here in our little room off the back patio. Padres general manager, A.J. Preller, who was sitting right next to us in the booth during the game yesterday.
Oh, I didn't even notice him.
You didn't notice? He's right to our left.
I had no idea.
Yeah. Well, Jesse had his rosters taped up, yeah. So you couldn't necessarily see him directly, but if you stood up, you would have noticed that A.J. was sitting to our left, then one booth to our right, and then Mudd and Don were doing the television broadcast two booths over. I don't know. If it hadn't been for you, there may not have been a TV broadcast.
Why?
Well,
oh, because Mudd
had,
yeah,
eye. Mudd had, yeah, sunscreen in his eye.
Yeah, I gave him Visine.
And you had to save the day with some Visine.
Yeah, that was like the least of my worries was Mudd's eye. I was really nervous going into this deal yesterday. My dad just texted me. He's excited we're going to be playing some audio because he didn't get to hear it. Now, in this business that we are in, the radio business, there is a thing that's called air checks. Air checking is the most uncomfortable. It's the most uncomfortable part of our job. Now, luckily for us, we don't really have to. We haven't had to do it in a while. We used to do daily meetings at our old station daily, every single day, and we would get air checked every day. And Ben would get very upset and defensive. Yeah, they would never actually play us the audio.
We're gonna actually bring you audio.
Yeah, we're actually giving you audio, but Ben would get very upset and explain.
Well, they'd tell me, you did this wrong and this wrong, and I'd go, that's not what I did, though. And they didn't have the audio to back it up, so that's not what happened.
Every
single. So we're going to actually play the audio here.
So I was – and so, yeah, it's not fun to listen to yourself. I don't like hearing myself on commercials. I don't like hearing myself on spots. It's just not fun. And then you hear kind of what you did wrong.
We got a lot of positive comments.
We did.
On social media, but – there was a general theme to a lot of them. Once you settled in, once you started getting comfortable,
yes,
I think we were both nervous at the very beginning.
I think we were both terrified. I never have heard Ben nervous with a microphone ever. I knew I was going to be nervous. I've never heard Ben nervous, and we were both kind of just like
ground bald,
like swallowing our words really early. I'm like, what is wrong with us? Just dial in. Let's go. And as the game went on, and it went on and on and on and on.
So see if you can let's go right to the very beginning.
Okay.
Jesse Agler starting our broadcast of the game and our Ben and Woods booth takeover with Jesse. See if you can listen for the any of the nerves present. At least certainly I had some.
The Stadium Cactus League Baseball as the San Diego Padres welcome the Oakland Athletics to the West Valley. Very good afternoon to you. Jesse Agler and a very special group to my right here this afternoon from the top-rated morning show in San Diego Radio, the Ben and Woods Show. We've got Ben, Higgins, and Woods, Steven. Gentlemen, will be joining us here this afternoon for the day, and a pleasure to have you. Welcome to Peoria.
Jesse, it's very kind of you to have us in your booth, your territory. You often come on our show, so this is a treat for us, and give it that spring training feel. You bunch of guys that you'll see maybe once and never again in the regular season. So that's us here today.
That sounds very familiar. I don't think you'll ever see us here again, but it is good to be here with you, the great Jesse Agler. What a day. This is perfect.
It's like one of those old Karnak bits. Number 88 on the Athletics and you. What do those things have in common? We'll never see them again this afternoon. Well, it's great to have you guys with us, and we'll be having some fun throughout the broadcast today. As for the game itself, Joey Lucchese will be making his 2020 debut. One of those guys, Ben, and I know you guys have talked about it on your show, who is kind of not necessarily on the bubble, but fighting for a spot in the rotation.
A presumptive member of the starting rotation, but maybe at the back end at this point. Certainly would like to prove himself and solidify at least that number five spot, probably with a couple of good spring outings.
26-year-old coming into his third major league season, and I know, Woods, you're a big fan of the Chirv.
I love the Chirv. I don't know what it is, but I know that it gets guys out. I know that Joey at times can look just absolutely ridiculously on point. And then it's just about staying consistent. You know, it's about staying consistent. So that's what we want to see from him today. Go out and get your outs.
I'm sure you're not alone and not entirely understanding what the Chirv is, so we'll talk more about that.
Let's do it.
As the afternoon progresses.
All right.
Not too bad.
Not as bad as I thought. The nerves that were my heart was
my heart
thumping
was pounding
at that moment. I mean, it's not like the entire world is listening to a Padres A's spring training game, but it felt like
it really did.
I mean, it felt like all eyes and ears were on us there. But Jesse is, I mean, listen to Jesse.
He's outstanding.
He talked about Carney. He's like Carson and we're on his couch.
That's exactly right, man.
He's got control of everything. I mean, just spinning his web. I mean, amazing. Great stuff.
It's astounding to watch up in person because, again, you got to remember, we don't know half of these guys. I'd say we don't know three quarters of these guys. He's pulling up info. He's got a book open. And it just sounds so natural.
Now, we talked about in the lead up to our booth takeover that you wanted to bring a couple of maybe bits to your role as color analyst.
Yes.
One of them was going to be the Booger McFarland.
Right.
Captain Obvious Analyst guy.
I wish I could say that I did this one on purpose.
I was wondering because there was
no
lead up to it. It just kind of happened.
No, I went straight Booger McFarland here, and I do have an explanation. If it's what I'm thinking of, I have an explanation.
So now two outs with runners on second and third.
Jesse, he's going to want to get this guy out too.
Yes, okay. Yeah,
he's going to want to get this guy out. Get the third out
for you.
Yep. Yep. Just so you know. That was Captain Obvious. That was the bit. Before, I said something to the effect of, listen, you know, it's spring training. You still want to make your pitches. You still want to get this guy out. And then I immediately, like three people on Twitter were like, oh, thanks for that analysis, Woodsy.
The pitcher wants to get this guy out?
Yeah, it was more of like, it was second and third, right? It was second and third. I think it was Chris Davis at the dish. And it's like, look, you still want to make your pitches here. I know it's spring training. Like, my whole point was, it's spring training. If you walk him, it's not the end of the world. That said, you still want to get this guy out. Of course he does. Of course he wants to get it. It was me fully doing Booger. Now, that clip right there was me actually doing a bit.
Right, making fun of
of my earlier Captain Obvious.
I get that. I get that. So, I know you guys were listening for my flubs.
Yes.
And I made it through about 23 minutes
yep.
of the broadcast. Yep. Now, before we get to the flub, there's a setup beforehand, and Jesse, I think, actually made me a little like, I don't know if I was beaming or what was going on here, because Jesse was pumping us up really hard on the broadcast.
Oh, yeah.
So, well, let's get to that first, because I appreciated that.
Lefty-lefty matchup, and on 3-0, he's taking all the way for a strike. Jesse Agler joined this afternoon by the co-hosts of the top-rated morning show in all of San Diego, Ben and Woods. Weekday mornings, 5 to 9 on 97.3 The Fan.
Well, I like the sound of that, my friend.
3-1 pitch is a strike to Garcia. Pretty good seat here, huh?
This is not bad at all.
Yeah.
So I was kind of, I think, kind of still basking
yeah.
in the glow of Jesse's praise.
I love that.
Because it was like less than 30 seconds later where the first flub of the day occurred.
Just threw his bat out and put it where they're not over there on the left side of the field. He's hitting with Greg Garcia.
What was I even trying to say
now,
there?
Now, immediately, Paul was sitting behind us in the booth, and as soon as he did it, again, I do what I always do, and I just turned my head slowly to the right and looked at Paul, and Paul
I'm already
scribbling down
it.
Notes. Yeah. Yep.
One more time. Can I hear it one more time?
One more time, yeah.
Just threw his bat out and put it where they're not over there on the left side of the field. Nice. He's hitting with Greg Garcia.
Ben was supremely, supremely nervous when it was time to do color. But Ben on play-by-play, look, man, I love my partner very much. I was very impressed with his play-by-play skills. It had been a long time since he'd done it. I mean,
I wasn't just impressed. I was proud.
Oh, I was proud, too.
That was so fun.
I was like, that's it. Because I'll tell you, if both of those guys dropped dead of a heart attack and I had to finish that game yesterday doing play-by-play, it would have been the worst thing you'd ever heard.
I'm actually nervous to listen to this part back. This is the part that I cared about the most.
Yeah.
Color analyst, I've never really done.
Right.
I was trying to, you know, chime in a little bit.
I'm supposed to be the funny right. color guy. I was terrible.
But the play-by-play, which I did the fourth through the sixth innings, was where I was really
– You're excited
this
and
was
nervous.
The moment.
Yeah.
I'm excited. I'm nervous. Can I still do this? So I'm a little – We listened back on this. I'm still a little nervous waiting to hear what it sounds like.
No runs yet. They did commit that one error. It was France who committed the two-base error, scored that run for the Brewers in the top of this inning. 2-0 Milwaukee. First pitch is swung on and missed by
Milwaukee.
France. No balls and one strike.
I missed that
entirely.
Total flub. France
That's
just
a
total
flub.
A monster year. Triple A last year. 399, 27 bombs. And he's trying to make himself a little bit more valuable, trying out some different positions for the Padres.
takes the second pitch high for a ball, one ball, one strike. I mean, those are insane numbers. I
insane.
Get the Pacific Coast League
yeah.
is a hitter's league.
Still.
You're doing something right. I know the balls were wound tighter or the seams were lower, whatever it was in minor league. The numbers were
outrageous.
Still
got to put the barrel on the thing. I mean,
you don't
it
get
is...
that without having a great season. 1-1 to France, and he rips this one into left field. On his run is Grossman, and he's not going to get it. One hops the wall. France rounding first, and he's going to cruise into second base with a two-out double.
Yeah, I think Phenomenal. That win we were talking about earlier may have helped tie France there a little bit. Hit it right at him, and then it shot off to the left and reached the wall for a two-base hit for Ty France.
It's died down just a little bit.
Yep.
That ball might have died earlier in the game in the win, but it was able to carry just enough to get to that one hop to the wall. So the Padres with a runner in scoring position with two outs.
That's really good.
And it's going to be an opportunity for Jake Cronenworth to drive in a run.
Well, now, Woods, now, you idiot. Actually, the wind
see,
has
now,
died down.
Now, I was talking about the win over the Brewers earlier, which is why I
yes.
said Brewers instead of A's. So that was a flub. I was going to say on his horse, and I said on his run.
On his run. He's
so it was like two
run.
Mistakes right there. I listened
Doesn't
back
matter.
With a very critical ear, but I was not happy with that one.
And listen, I heard Jesse do it a couple times, too. I mean, it happens. Like, you know, like Jesse
Things
said.
Happen, everything's moving quickly.
It is.
I get it. I understand it. Do we have one more play-by-play cut here before we move on for the time being? We'll get back to a little more of this
hear,
later.
I want to hear, if Brian's got it, I would like to hear you had a home run call.
Yeah.
By a former Padre. It was not a home team home run call, but you still got to call a home run. The only one of the game.
I don't know yeah. if we've gotten that far in our country. We do have
we'll
Padres' first run, I believe, of the game. Padres getting on the board after falling behind early, so I think we have that one.
Torrens can bring a run home. Juan Lagares in the on-deck circle for the Padres.
Yeah, Luis got a little pop himself, Benny. 15 bombs last year at the AA. Batted 300, OBP 373.
Rule 5 draft pick takes this one for a strike, and it's gone from 1-0 to 1-2. Such a tough job to be a Rule 5 draft pick. I mean, it's great. All of a sudden, you're plucked out of a low minor league somewhere, and you get to be a big leaguer, maybe for the whole season.
Yeah.
But you also don't get to play much. You got to sit on the bench. You lose a bit of a year of development. So, kind of a two-edged sword. 1-2 to Torrens. This one's fouled out of play.
You know, some may call that a double-edged sword, too.
What did I call it?
A two-edged sword.
A double-edged sword.
Double-edged sword. Yeah. Two-edged sword. That's better than Woods. In a nutshell. Tomato, tomato.
Someone needs to invent a triple-edged sword.
Now this feels like Ben and Woods. There it is. That is Ben and Woods. Yeah. And
2-0 A's with the Padres more. With the bases loaded the here in the bottom play. Of the fourth inning. 1-2 pitch to Torrens. It hits him, and that's going to bring home the first run of the game. So we saw a wild pitch bring home a run for the A's. Now a hit batsman gets the Padres' first run across, and it's a 2-1 ball game.
All right, now we're talking. Two-out nightmare. Already going to the bullpen. There we go.
That was fun. That was good.
Fun.
That was Ben Woods. That was a run. That was. I think we were starting to get comfortable. It took about an hour and 20 minutes
yep.
before we started to get comfortable.
I've never been
on
more,
the broadcast.
I swear to God, I've never been more nervous. You could put me in Petco Park in the middle of center field with a microphone and 40,000 people, and I wouldn't be more nervous than I was yesterday.
All right, we'll pull some more cuts as we go on this morning. We will also, if you were listening yesterday, the Double Secret Incorporator, you didn't know the words that Jesse and
nope,
I traded.
Had no idea.
Had to work into the broadcast. You were listening to see if you could guess. So I think about 7 o'clock we will come up with your guesses, then we'll play the actual clips of us trying to incorporate our words. So that's coming up. The Aztecs looked, I'm just going to say, awful. Last night they won, which
Very
is
critical
the,
of a win.
But
Ben.
I'm rarely critical of a win. There is some concern here, how they're playing here late in the season. So we'll get to some of that as well. Hammer Time is up next as well. Stay tuned. Padres spring training in Peoria. It's Ben and Woods live on San Diego's number one sports station, 97.3 The Fan.
Do you want great guests? We've got you covered.
It's our ESPN Mort Report with Chris Mortensen. What's been your experience with Bill Belichick over the years?
And I was amazed at his involvement in every detail, offense, defense, special teams. And it's every bit what you would expect from a great coach. So I think maybe what we see isn't the real Bill Belichick, but it's more in line with what we consider the greats.
Ben and Woods, mornings from 5 to 9 a.m. on 97.3 The Fan.
So 1-0 pitch to Austin Allen, who started about 10 games for the Padres last year, and he rips
wow.
that one deep to right field. Oliveras, the new right fielder, is just going to look up, and watch it sail. Round one to the former Padre as Austin Allen leads off the top of the sixth inning with a solo home run. A's take a 5-2 lead.
Take your trot.
That's for the home team.
Oh, all right. Well, I'll do it. Take your trot, Austin Allen. Holy smokes.
Even for the old friend.
Even for the old friend. That was a little purpose behind that one, Betty.
Second pitch, Allen takes right out over the fence. And the A's now up 5-2.
I like that call. That was not bad.
Yeah, you nailed that one.
What a nice moment if you're Austin Allen as well.
I can't say the word. He pee-peed on that ball. It's weird. I can say he pee-peed on it. I can't say the other one.
Traded in the offseason. He was part of the Jurickson Profar deal along with Buddy Reed. Goes up to Oakland. First at bat against his former team. Just smokes one.
I mean, rope sauce, man, over the right center field.
And the wind was blowing in.
No
doubter. It was hard to get a ball out yesterday.
Yeah, dude, wind was swirling yesterday. We went to the wind well several times. If you ran out of things, you said, boy, sure is windy. A lot of papers blowing around, flags blowing in. You really run out of stuff to say.
Here's the thing.
3.5-hour broadcast.
If you're on television, they can probably, at some point, they probably see the flags blowing.
Yeah, of course.
You're on radio. You got to paint the scene, man.
Yeah. Ben was very descriptive.
People listening don't know that it was windy still.
Behind the home plate, it says Peoria. And Ben at one point said, pass ball, and the ball rose back right into the center of the P, which was one of my favorite moments from yesterday as well. I said, wow, that's very descriptive, Benny.
Ben and Woods, as the game went on, more and more backups were brought in.
Yeah.
Wholesale changes. Guys that aren't going to make the roster that you've never heard of. So things start dragging on a little bit. And at one point, you got a special invitation from Jesse Acklin.
Yep.
He wanted you to call a pitch.
Awful.
Just one.
One. One pitch.
I was thinking this is going to be – I think there were runners on base. I was hoping for a double in the gap or something down the line where we'd really get some drama.
Like, get a boom, goes the dynamite in there. He catches it and throws it to the man. That's because that's what it would have sounded like.
So here was Woods' one attempt at play-by-play yesterday.
The 1-1. A's a little bit down and away. Two balls and a strike. You want to call a pitch, by the way?
No, I'm good. No, I'm straight. I'm fine.
One pitch.
One pitch?
Yeah, here, take it.
All right, what's this guy's name?
Jorge Ruiz.
And Jorge Ruiz into the set. Yeah, outside. Ball something. Ball three. Ball two. Ball three. Ball three. Three and one.
Very accurate.
Nailed it. If something happened to you both and I had to do this, there'd be no way. I'm very impressed by both of you.
Your scorebook is not up to date in this game?
I didn't even keep a scorebook.
That's amazing.
Yeah, it was great.
Ball something.
Ball something. Somebody. Norber. Whatever
his
name.
Who's this guy?
Yeah.
All right. We will get to Hammer Time. Also, some thoughts on the Aztecs' continuing troubles late last night at Viejas Arena, right after a check of traffic here with Kelly Danick on 97.3 The Fan.
We've got plenty of activity on our roads this morning. They're still investigating this wrong-way driver situation westbound King Freeway at 30th Street. That is in the center divide. Also, if you're traveling on the eastbound 54, just before Rayo Drive, we have reports of a stalled vehicle in the fast lane. Traveling on the westbound 905 at the North 5 connector ramp, an accident. Looks like a vehicle may have gone off the roadway. A crash also on northbound 5 just before Cesar Chavez Parkway. Solo vehicle accident. That is in the center divide. And traveling on the westbound side of the 8 just past Jackson Drive, getting reports of a ladder in the fast lane to watch out for. In Fallbrook, northbound side of the 15 past Mission Road, dealing with an accident. Looks like this vehicle went off the roadway. I'm Kelly Danick with Ben and Woods on San Diego's number one sports station, 97.3 The Fan.
So last night, 9 p.m. Mountain. Woods, I imagine you were either fast asleep or getting really tucked in at that point.
Is that a euphemism for something, Ben?
No, I think you were fast asleep at 9 o'clock p.m., knowing you.
I was
awake.
Just say I was in bed at 9 p.m.
Right, fine. I was just...
Your freshly made bed.
I was just firing up the broadcast of San Diego State taking on Colorado State last night at Viejas Arena.
At 9.
Watch the entire 2 hours and
good Lord.
20 minutes of college basketball.
You are the sportiest sportsman of all time.
I want to see how they were going to bounce back from their first loss.
Or if they would.
Straight wins, or if they would. It was senior night, which Brian Dutcher continues with the tradition that Steve Fisher started, the seniors start. So Nolan Narain, who only plays a couple of minutes a game if he gets in at all. Gets a start. KJ Fagan's in there, Yanni Wetzel. So a different starting lineup.
Pretty cool.
Well, it's cool. It's nice to do. Didn't hurt. Nolan Lorraine.
I saw they got up on a really hot run.
Opens the game. He's a big man underneath. Fires up a three-point. I don't know that I've ever seen him attempt a three. Thing rolls around the rim like four times and goes in. Okay, well, this is cool. What a great moment for a senior on senior night to go in, make a three-pointer, get the scoring started. Aztecs open the game on an 11-2 run. Back to Aztecs basketball. The game against UNLV was a blip. It was an aberration. Nothing to worry about. And then Colorado State reeled off 12 straight points. And San Diego State, I don't think, led again in the first half. They trailed. They struggled. They couldn't make shots. They looked out of rhythm offensively, kept, you know, winding the shot clock down, getting no open looks. They struggled on defense. Colorado State was shooting 61% at some point in the first half. And San Diego State trailed at halftime again. And you're thinking, could this possibly happen? Could you go 26-0 and then lose back-to-back home games when you're double-digit favorites both times?
Yeah.
Just didn't seem within the realm of possibilities. They come back out in the second half. Matt Mitchell, by the way, played really well in the first half. If it weren't for Matt Mitchell, they might have been down, 15 in the first half. He had a really solid first half.
What were they down at half again?
Just one or two. It was a close game, but thanks only to Matt Mitchell making a couple of threes, a three-point play late, just kept them within striking distance. Second half, I'm thinking, okay, they're going to turn it around, but it really didn't happen. They continued to struggle to score. They continued to not get shots. Malachi Flynn, who's probably the player of the year in the Mountain West Conference, did not make a field goal, a basket, until 25 minutes had elapsed in the game. Didn't make one in the first half, didn't make one in the first 5 minutes of the second half. And things were starting to get nervous. They were down 7 in the second half to Colorado State. And, the time was starting to wind down. And you're going, if they don't go on a run here, they're going to lose 2 in a row, and all of a sudden they will get hammered. They will no longer be a 1 seed. They might not be a 2 seed anymore. They're going to be out of the top 10. This is a pending disaster at Viejas Arena. Somehow, and I don't want I'd love to give the Aztecs credit, and I will give them credit for finding a way, but Colorado State started getting cold, missing three-pointers. They had some open looks. They just weren't knocking them down. San Diego State was finding ways to get some baskets. Malachi Flynn finally heated up, scored 15 points in the last 15 minutes.
That'll help.
That helped a lot. And they went on a 13-0 run late in the game to go from down to up 6. And then Colorado State gave it a shot at the end. They pulled within 2, had the ball with less than 30 seconds to go. Got a pretty good look at 3. When it was going in the air, I'm going, oh, no. They're going to be down 1 here, and there's going to be 10 seconds left. But just off the front iron, and San Jose State made their free throws, ended up 66-60 win. But it was really the juniors who saved the day on senior night. Matt Mitchell in the first half. Jordan Shackle had a couple of big baskets, and then Malachi Flynn at the end. But another bad game for Yanni Wetzel. Didn't make a field goal the entire game.
Man.
Had trouble underneath, getting his shot off. He did make his free throws, at least, which was the difference. He did make his free throw, I think, 6 of 8 against Colorado State. It shows how important it is in a close game to do that. But other than that, it could have easily been a second straight loss for San Diego State.
So they're not playing the way they're obviously capable of playing at the wrong time of year. That being said, Ben, finding a way to win, you do have to give them credit for not playing their best basketball. I did see some more referee stuff. I it's the thing that drives me the most crazy about football. It really all sports, right? The judgments of other people really affecting games.
There were a couple of bad calls. A rope got called for a very ticky-tack flagrant one. Came right after a three-pointer. So it was a three-pointer, then 2 shots, then the ball for Colorado State it was a hard box out, and he kind of shouldered him, but yeah, foul is fine, but a flagrant one, that seemed excessive. And then Nico Carvacho, the big man, just flopped on Yanni Wetzel on a ball. I mean, they were underneath. Wetzel passed it out. I mean, maybe
grazed him,
and the guy just goes sprawling. And they called an offensive foul on Wetzel, which was his 4th. That was a terrible call. But it was the referees didn't decide the game. It was San Diego State playing poorly again.
But still finding a way to win.
They did find a way to win.
And that, you know, listen, they're not dominating these teams like they should be right now. I don't know. What could it be? What is it?
Okay, so they're just not shooting. I mean, the shots aren't going in. The offense looks a little disjointed. They're not playing as well as they were earlier in the season. That's a concern because, well, you know, tournament time's coming up. You want to be playing your best basketball at the end of the season. One encouraging thing. They're still 3.5 weeks away from their first tournament game.
Right.
Not Mountain West, but NCAA tournament game is not going to probably happen until 3 weeks and 2 days from now on that Friday in Sacramento. That's a lifetime in basketball. You're cold now, you could be red hot in 3 weeks. The other thing that I'm okay with, they're not being exposed. Oh, they're finally playing some good teams. No, I mean, if they played like they were earlier in the season, they would have destroyed UNLV and Colorado State.
Yeah.
They just didn't play like they're capable of. We know what they're capable of. They just have to start playing that way by the time 3 weeks from now rolls around and the NCAA tournament is here.
You're getting that thing, though, that happens as a person that was born and raised in San Diego, where you're getting the panic. People got the panic after the...
Understandable.
Right. Well, I mean, it's you're conditioned, I guess, is the best way to put it. Because last week after the loss, you saw, oh my God, they're out of the top 10. I mean, there are people in your feed.
Expect the worst.
Expect the worst. And
you'll never be overly disappointed.
That's exactly right. And I think there's a little bit of that happening right now. It's hard to, it is the mark of a good team to be able to find a way to win when you don't shoot well. And maybe the refs are against you. That's exactly what we wanted from them the last game. The refs were not great in the last game. They didn't shoot well. They didn't find a way to win that game. They did. And I think you have to use that and build on that.
We'll see. Another tough game coming up. Conference finale. Nevada, 12-win team, tied for second place. You got to go to their place on Saturday to wrap up the conference season. So another danger game still to come this week for San Diego State.
Sure. Yeah, it's just a matter of, again, they lost a game. They bounced back. They found a way to win a game.
All guests on Ben and Woods appear on the SDCCU fan hotline. San Diego County Credit Union has low mortgage loan rates. Apply today. Equal housing opportunity. For details, call the phone number, 877-SDCCU4U, or visit SDCCU.com. All right, let's head back to our studios, San Diego, California. Turn things over to our assistant producer. It is Hammer Time.
Can't touch this. Can't touch this. Can't touch this. Stop. Hammer Time.
Hammer, my friend, we miss you.
What's
Can't
up,
wait to see you tomorrow. How you doing, buddy?
I'm missing you guys every single day.
Missing you too, Pally. Missing you too. What do you got for us today?
Oh, so I've kind of noticed as I grow up, I think, you know, just this past couple of years, I've noticed, like, the, like, clothing trends, like, yo, it's way past the, to, in terms of, like, the Dickies, the K-Swiss.
Yeah.
You can't rock those anymore to the point that if you do rock them, it's embarrassing.
Me personally or, like, anyone?
Anyone. Like, okay. I love rocking K-Swiss with my Dickie tan shorts. I think it's a clean look. I've always loved it.
San Diego look, yeah.
But if I go into Nordstrom's, like, it would not fly. I could not be able to go in there. They wouldn't be happy about it. I mean, fashion's obviously a big deal at Nordstrom's, and it sucks because I love that look.
Yeah, you need to dress like an adult when you go to Nordstrom.
Right.
But that sucks because Dickies and K-Swiss was a look that actually could pass back in the day. And I was thinking, you guys used to dress like buffoons. And what's something that you missed back in the day that you used to rock?
It's a really fair point. So you're saying we don't dress like buffoons anymore, but we used to.
You guys definitely improved, but in terms of, if you're going to compare that to me rocking Dickie shorts and K-Swiss to what you guys are rocking in the 80s, 70s.
What fashion fad from your youth do you wish you could bring back and be acceptable to wear?
I'm the wrong person to ask. I was always the dorkiest dressed kid in school. I mean, at least elementary school. I wore...
My choice,
mostly,
was that a shot at
your
mom?
The alligator shirts? Izod's, yeah.
They made a comeback.
Not when I was wearing them. They weren't that fashionable.
They made a huge comeback when I was in college.
You know, all the kids were in the T-shirts and they had their socks low. I had my socks up wearing my Izod collared shirt.
Why?
Mrs. Higgins, if you're listening, I'll pay money for a picture
this
of this.
This is elementary school. We're talking about elementary school.
Okay, elementary
school.
I dressed pretty nerdy in elementary school. But, like, when I got into, like, middle school and high school, man, I'm trying to think. We wore, you know what was popular when I was a senior in high school? Khakis.
Ooh, I love good khakis.
Yeah, like khaki, like Gap khakis. and kind of enjoyed them. I've gone completely away from jeans entirely. I have one pair of jeans. I'd never wear them anymore.
I thought jeans never went out of style.
They don't. They don't. But for me personally, like I have now, I'm actually wearing the Zellas that Hammer recommended. I got them at Nordstrom.
So clean.
They're like the nice sweatpants.
Yep.
So I'm wearing those now. I really enjoy those.
I'm wearing ABCs right now.
Yeah, ABCs from Lululemon. Best pants in the world, period. The end. But I don't miss. I looked kind of like a dork back then. And I kind of, you know what my biggest fear, though, is? Being, so I'm a dad. I'm an older dad, 44. Going to be 45 in July. I'm worried I'm going to try to be the dad that tries to look cool when I'm like 50. And my kids going to be like, all right, with your Deftones t-shirt. And but that's how I dress. You know what I mean? Like, I've always dressed that way. But at least for the last 10 years.
Ben's definitely not doing that.
The only thing more embarrassing than dressing embarrassingly like a dad is not dressing embarrassingly like a dad.
Well, you dress like you dress like a dad. I try to be like the young kids.
Right.
Yeah.
Which is even more embarrassing.
You think so?
Than wearing the embarrassing dad clothes.
I
agree. Does that make sense?
I agree with that.
Yeah. No one wants to see a 50-year-old trying to dress like a 20-year-old.
Fit in.
But like, what if that's just what I wear? Like, can I?
That's embarrassing.
When I'm 50, I can't wear a concert T-shirt anymore.
No, hang it up.
Really?
Yep, got to do it.
Oh, man, it's going to be a tough scene.
Picture
for me.
Coach John Cantara in a concert T-shirt, and then tell me whether you should
be
wearing
it. Yeah, this Jimmy Buffett concert. Let me tell you what. Hammer, to answer your question, tall tees for me.
Ooh.
Love a good tall tee.
What the hell's a tall tee?
Oh, come on.
Like the long one?
Showing your age.
Long
tees. God,
it's
the worst look in the history.
When I was like 13.
Hey, that underneath the football jersey, that was awesome.
Justin Timberlake.
Thank you, Hammer.
You're welcome.
From one producer to the next, we go to the Rindle Report, kicking off hour number two of Ben and Woods live at spring training.
Strap in for this one.
San Diego's number one sports station, 97.3 The Fan.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.